Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. It's Julie Harris. And today's topic, call reluctance. Some of you may call it call avoidance. Now, this call is for you if, number one, you avoid prospecting like it's the plague. What is prospecting anyway? It's generating leads on purpose. That's it. Nothing more complicated than that. But some of you avoid prospecting like it's the plague. This call is for you if, number two, you sometimes feel reluctant, even though you know it makes you money without costing you any money. Or number three, sometimes you just can't make yourself do it, even if you're great at it. So there are different levels of agents in all of our classes, but in this particular class, you know, some of you just don't prospect ever. It's just not for you. It's not your thing. I'm not a prospector. It makes me uncomfortable, whatever. Others of you only do it when you're desperate. And a third category think that you shouldn't do it because, you know, you're just above it, whatever that the case may be. And I think there's probably a fourth category, those of you who actually are quite excellent at it, but you just don't make yourself do it on a regular basis, where if you were doing it regularly as part of your schedule, you would double, triple, or quadruple your income. So whatever category you fall into. And for some of you, you know, you're good at it most of the time, but you get busy and that's where you fall down. Or maybe when you have a bad day, for some reason, you know, you don't follow your schedule and do the things you're supposed to do, even if you don't feel like doing them. So, you know, lots of different causes, lots of different levels, but let's just title this call reluctance / call avoidance. So it's okay if that's how you are, if that's your natural stance, but what's not okay is for it to affect your income. See, it's normal for you not to feel like putting yourself on the line, making it so that you might hear the word no. That's normal. That just makes you a normal human being. Some of you are more reluctant than others. Some of you are more conflict-avoiding, or you perceive that prospecting could put you into a conflict situation, thus you avoid it like crazy. So that's totally normal. There is nothing wrong with you. And I want you to, you know, all of you to write this down, because I hear this far too frequently on coaching calls. Just write down, there's nothing wrong with me, okay? Unless maybe one or two of you on this call has some kind of, you know, bronchitis or something like that, or maybe you have a cold, okay. But generally speaking, if you're on this call, it's because you want to learn, move your business forward, and make more money. There's nothing wrong with you, okay, except perhaps your income needs to be upgraded, shall we say, okay? So there's nothing, you know, wrong with your personality. There's nothing like that. So it's normal to feel this way about prospecting. But it's not okay to let it affect your income. So write down this very popular HREU, as in Harris Real Estate University, for those of you who are new to this class, HREU mantra. Here is the quote, success comes from doing the things I don't want to do when I don't want to do them at a very high level. So there's three parts to that. This is the definition of success. Success comes from doing, that means taking action, the things I don't want to do at the time or when I don't want to do them, and perhaps most importantly, at a high level, as in not a half-assed approach to, say, your lead follow-up. Make a couple calls, didn't get anybody, oh, screw it, I'm not going to do any more. Okay? Success comes from doing the things I don't want to do when I don't want to do them at the highest level possible. That is the point of Harris Real Estate University, okay, to create success from that. So let's take a look at the most common reasons for prospecting reluctance, also known as creative avoidance of income. You realize when you are avoiding prospecting, lead follow-ups, et cetera, that that's what you're doing. You're creatively avoiding your own income. That may not be your intention, but that is absolutely what you're doing. Okay? And for some of you, you need to underline that. So creative avoidance of your income is basically what call reluctance is. Because, you know, you guys all know, because you have all done it at a high level, it's not that hard. And you do get results every time you do it. If you don't get results, we need to have a free coaching call together and figure out what script you're using and maybe polish a few things to change that. Most of the time, by the way, when I have those calls, It is honestly an attitude adjustment call, where it's how you're looking at it. If you don't look at your lead follow-up, for example, every single call as a potential opportunity, and you just look at it as a chore, of course you're not going to make any money from it. But if before every time you make a call, you think, this could be my next appointment, this should be my next appointment, you're a lot more likely to, guess what, set appointments. So most of the time, it is a matter of mindset. And some of you, you know, you guys know who you are. I've had calls with you, and I'll ask you, is this how you sound when you prospect? Because you'll sound like a beaten-down dog, or you'll sound like you're mad at real estate, or some of you with big egos sound like you're being inconvenienced to have to call somebody back. Okay, so be careful with that. A lot of it comes, probably 90% of it happens in your head. So let's take a look at prospecting reluctance reasons, okay? It's usually due to the reasons that we'll discuss, sometimes one, sometimes a combination of several of these reasons. So your homework is this, as you're listening to this call. Put a star next to the prospecting reluctance sins that you are committing, okay? So hopefully you guys are all in a position to be taking notes now, and you are ready to rumble. And I'm just making sure that the recording is indeed working correctly. Yes, it is. So you can go back and listen to this call as many times as you like, which is the case with all of our calls. And you can send me questions in between calls, coachjulieharris@gmail.com. Okay? All right, so call reluctance. And again, maybe this isn't your main reluctance issue. Maybe it just happens to you now and then, or when you haven't done it for a while, and it becomes this big event. Again, the reason and to what degree doesn't matter so much as overcoming it and identifying what is it that gets you into that complacency, okay? Remember, prospecting reluctance is creative avoidance of income. So what are these reasons? Number one, fear of success. Oh my gosh, I'm so busy as it is. What would I do with two more listings? What would I do if I had to take another buyer out this week? Fear of success. Again, you're going to put a star next to the ones that you want to work on. Number two, closely related, fear of failure. What if nobody wants to meet with me? What if I can't set any appointments? What if I stink at this? Fear of failure. Well, guess what? By not making the effort, that's the failure. Okay. Number three, here's an issue that pops up now and then, maybe not every single day of your life, but it's ego, making it all about you. Oh, well, prospecting just makes me feel like, you know, like I'm begging for business. Guess what? Everyone in business prospects, or they're not in business for long. So it could be your ego making it all about you. And I'll tell you, some of my most successful graduate students have this issue. My one-on-one students, and some of you should be in that program. That's the $800 a month one-on-one call every single week with a coach, either myself or Tim. And, you know, a lot of these agents are super successful, but because of their success, they've gotten into this thought process that people should always call them, and they forget that it's not the prospect's job to call you. It's your job, number one job in real estate, to call them. So it could be ego making it all about you. Number four, it could be lack of skill. Now, think about this in terms of yourself as well as potential team members. I'm thinking buyer's agents, that kind of position. Can be the brain maker, can be team members. Number four is lack of skill. Remember that knowledge equals power and ignorance equals fear. Knowledge equals power, ignorance equals fear. A lot of people don't do lead follow-up because they don't know what to say. They don't leave messages because they don't know what to say. They don't close because they don't know how to ask for the business. That's okay. What's not okay is to not work on it, to not recognize it. This class is all about increasing your skill. Number five, closely related, is fear of objections. What if they say something and, or ask me something and I don't know how to respond? That could be. That's a very realistic fear for not just real estate professionals, but all salespeople. Fear of objections. So remember that an objection is just a question in the mind of the prospect, which is as of yet unanswered. An objection is an unanswered question in the mind of the prospect. Answer the question and move forward. You also have a backup script that we've discussed on previous coaching calls, which goes like this. That's a great question, Mr. or Mrs. Buyer or Seller. Let me write it down and I'll get back with you this evening. and then make sure you write it down, get the answer, and get back with them. That's your backup script. You're the only one who expects yourself to actually know everything, which also, by the way, is an expression of ego, okay? I don't expect you, as your coach and as someone who has sold over 100 houses a year for 10 years, I don't know everything, okay? That's when you stop learning, is when you think you know it all, okay? And as your coach, I don't expect any of you guys to know everything. My superstar interviews, my HGTV stars, I don't expect them to know everything. Only you guys and your ego thinks that you're supposed to know everything, okay? And in fact, your prospects don't expect you to know everything either. You are better off to say to an objection or a question, okay, that's a great question, let me write it down, I'll find you the answer, I would rather not guess, versus what some agents do, and they just completely BS their way onto whatever is happening next. I got news for you. Prospects can tell when you are full of crap, okay? So don't do that. So it could be fear of objections. We have many coaching calls about objection handlers, and we're going to be getting further into that in future calls as well. Number six, fear or worry over how you'll be perceived. Well, they'll think that I'm desperate for business. Well, here's what I think of. You know, I've been through this before myself, okay? I never coach you guys to do anything that I haven't done myself. That would be lack of integrity, okay? So when I would go through this, I would think, well, you know, I had friends that were starting businesses and they had different things and, you know, everything from getting their psychology degrees and starting that kind of practice. A friend of mine became a dentist. I had landscaping company friends, you know, and they would send out emails and mailers and flyers and call and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm opening my practice. I'm having an open house this Sunday. Gosh, it would be great if you could come, and if you can bring a friend, that would be even better. I just want everyone to know that I have this new business starting. Did I ever think that they were calling, emailing, flyering, postcarding me out of desperation? No, that thought never occurred to me. That only is an excuse that, you know, we can come up with in our subconscious for not doing something. You're not desperate. And you know, the thing is, the irony in all this is by not doing this stuff, you will become desperate, which is kind of a scary thought because some of you only prospect when you're desperate. That's not running a business. That's running a panic attack. Okay. So number seven, might not be clear on the process of prospecting that it takes several no's to get a yes. Is that maybe an excuse that you're using, whether you realize it or not? You don't actually understand or embrace the fact that there are a lot of no's before you hear a yes. One of my favorite coaching clients in Northern Virginia, she sings this song that goes, no, 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 yes. You know, like row, row, row your boat. She does that before every prospecting session as a reminder to herself that it's normal to hear no, and she has to hear a certain number of no's before she gets a yes, which is an appointment. Okay, so number eight, and there's no way to sugarcoat this one, lazy. Maybe you figure you'll wait around for the next referral. Well, that would be called luck and running a hobby, not running a business. So, you know, maybe you don't have any elaborate excuses, you're just lazy. It's fairly common in the world, right? You know, laziness causes people to be broke. It's that simple. So that's something that you can easily clear up by simply putting one foot in front of the other, strapping your headset on, and taking action. You don't have to be perfect at this to have success. And I'm not sure trying to be a perfectionist is on my list, but it should be. So remember, your job here is to earn while you learn, okay? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you know, somebody that, you know, calls every single person, gets an appointment every time. I don't have anybody that's like that. That's probably impossible. So stop trying to be a perfectionist, which that's kind of funny. My subconscious must have this my notes memorized, because guess what number nine was? Waiting to become an expert before you make the effort. Perfectionism. I hadn't even looked at that yet. Isn't that funny? So perfectionism. waiting to become a, quote, expert, which is, by the way, a legal term that you should never be using. You can call yourself a specialist, but you should not be calling yourself an expert because that is in violation of your agency laws and your ethics violations for, quote, acting like an attorney. I have interviewed an attorney who has specifically stated that. So avoid the word expert, use the word specialist. But the point is, stop having to be perfect at everything before you actually put one foot in front of the other. My short sale students are the worst on this one because they feel like they have to, quote, study the short sale process until they'll actually take short sale listings or they'll actually take a lot of short sale listings. I got news for you. As soon as you think that you know everything about short sales, they're going to change the rules on you anyway. Anyone who has done any number of short sales will agree with that. Okay, so watch out for that thought process. So again, prospecting avoidance, what are other reasons? Number 10, listening and believing what other agents say. You know, the best for sale by owner prospectors are always trying to convince you that, you know, FSBOs are horrible to work with. Oh, FSBOs eat their young. They're always overpriced. They're terrible. Well, the only reason they say that is because they don't want any competition, and they're really good at prospecting for sale by owners. So here's my rule. Unless the person giving you advice is either currently doing a whole lot more business than you or has in the recent past, I have no idea why you would listen to them, take their advice, or anything else. No idea, okay? And if you haven't pre-qualified where the advice or information is coming from, I don't get that at all. So be careful listening and believing what other agents say. Number 11, lack of belief in your abilities. Some of you guys are great at studying stuff. You take copious notes. You've got all kinds of fantastic coaching in your head. But because you have not taken the plunge to actually implementing, executing, and having success from what's in your head, you kind of question your abilities. And I'll tell you where I see this the most is probably in expired prospecting skills. I, as you know, love expireds. But one of the reasons that I love expireds is because we had great success prospecting them. Looking back, we should have done it even more consistently than we did. But I love expireds because there's so many great things about them. You know what the wrong price is. They've already tried out your competitor, and that person has failed, so now you have less competition. They're probably more motivated. Okay, and they've already lived through some negative feedback. You can probably get them to fix. But one of the reasons why I love expireds is because we had success at it. Some of you guys have all the expired scripts and objection handlers and closes in your head, but because you haven't had an expired victory yet, you are not yet addicted to them doing it every day. So it could be lack of belief in your abilities, which stems from not having actually used your abilities to the top of possibility. Number 12, not following a schedule. That's easy to fix. Add your own avoidance tactics, excuses, and reasons to the list. Okay? I only made my 12 most common excuses that I hear for why people aren't good at this. You probably have your own. That's fine. Put a star next to the ones that you're going to conquer. Cross out the ones that you've already conquered. Here's the solution. So we're moving on to what to do about this. Solution, number one, recognize that prospecting is your job, period. Rename it if necessary. You can call it lead generation or dollar productive activity or simply creating income, okay? Number two, schedule it daily and take it as seriously as you would a listing appointment. Schedule it daily. Lead follow-up prospecting, this is scheduling your future income, and if you break it, you will make less money. So take it as seriously as you do a listing appointment and don't, you know, blow it off. Number three, celebrate small victories like just making the calls, regardless of the outcome. Celebrate small victories. You know, one of the biggest coaching lessons I have ever had was from one of my music teachers, right? So I have this other life as a classical musician. I've had years and years and years of private lessons. Went to college for a performance degree. That's my totally other life, right? There's so many great lessons from those teachers who are really coaches. And I'll tell you, I had this flute teacher once, and he, I had quit playing for a while, and I came back to it, and I was getting frustrated because he was starting with such incredibly basic stuff that I had done years ago, but I had to, you know, get back under my fingers, right? So he said, and he is principal flautist with a major symphony, and he said, sometimes all I do is put my flute together. And I was like, at the time, I thought, are you kidding me, right? Impatient. I'm trying to move it forward. Got to get some stuff done here. Sound familiar, like all of you guys? He said, sometimes all I do is put my flute together. Sometimes I just clean it and I look at it. Sometimes I will just play a couple of scales. His point was, celebrate small victories. The more small victories you have, the easier it is to get to that final performance. And that stayed with me through all of these years as celebrating those small victories. So some of you guys, you know, day in and day out, you drive past that FSBO sign between your house and the grocery store or between your house and the office. A small victory would be stopping the car and writing down the phone number. A small victory would be taking the flyer out of the FSBO's sign box if they have one. A slightly bigger victory would be walking up to the door and door knocking them. A small victory would be going to their open house, breaking the ice. You don't have to have immediate success to have success. Get that into your head, okay? Number four, stop making it all about you. Put yourself into the mindset of service. What are you here to give versus how some of you approach everything in life? What are you in it to get? When you make yourself of service, it removes the ego. Stop making it all about you. Number five, remember, lead generation is like anything in life. It's a numbers game. Of 10 expireds, for example, 4 won't be home, 2 won't want to talk to you, 2 will be leads to follow up on, and 2 should give you appointments, assuming you used the script, paid attention, listened to their needs, determined you could help, and closed for the appointment. Stop focusing on the 8 non-appointments and start focusing on how you can be of service to the 2 who do want to talk to you. So remember, lead generation is like anything. It's a numbers game. Don't expect you to call 10 expireds and get 10 appointments. That's crazy. Find the 2 people who want your help and help them. Number 6, role play your scripts. Practice makes perfect. Doctors practice surgery before they operate. Thank God. Pilots are in simulators before they fly you around. Thank goodness. If you want to be treated like a professional and make professional money, do what professionals do. Practice. By the way, the best practice you can do is on real prospects because they don't have a copy of your script. And guess what? You'll surprise yourself with the appointments you make. Number 7, never, ever, ever give up. Remember the accumulation effect. Small victories add up to big victories. Okay? So remember the definition of success again. Doing the things that you don't want to do at the times you don't feel like doing them at a very high level. I don't expect any of you to absolutely love, love, love prospecting. I know very few people, and I have had literally hundreds of thousands of coaching calls. I stopped counting when I hit 100,000 coaching calls. Sold over 1,000 houses. I don't know. I mean, I could probably name 2 or 3 people that are like natural prospectors, and all of them are kind of scary, okay? You guys should worry about them. It's normal and natural to not feel like doing it, but and that's okay. That's, you know, like I said, totally normal and natural, but what's not okay is to not do anything about it because you're costing yourself money. How do you take action? Number 1, go immediately to your lead follow-up. That's where it starts. So the better you are at lead follow-up, calling the people who have already contacted you, either via your email, voicemail, sign calls, internet, whatever the case may be, the better you are at talking to people who have asked for your help, the easier the colder stuff is. So some of you, it's not really about avoiding prospecting. You're actually people avoiders, and you've got to cure that if you're going to continue in real estate. It is a people business, okay? And, again, the more you do of it, the better you're going to be at it, and the more comfortable you'll become. I look at it this way, you know, it's just business. There's going to be some rejection. There's going to be some success. Every day brings something different. Your job is to talk to enough people, enough days in a row, that you're getting enough yeses. That's it. Totally simplify it, okay? And remember that most of the people you're talking to are strangers. You have no connection to them, so what do you care if they don't give you an appointment? Connect with the people who want your help. Be of service. And I've had some of my coaching clients tell me that that thought of being of service and making it all about the prospect instead of making it all about them opened a lot of doors for them, mentally, spiritually, certainly financially. There's something that happens when you decide that you are here to be of service. What are you here to give versus what are you here to get? The getting will come the more you give. So if you're not yet earning what you should be earning based on your goals, based on what you did in the real estate treasure map, so realestatetreasuremap.com, you know, if you're not yet earning that, it's simply because you have not figured out how to help enough people. That's it. There's nothing wrong with you. You just haven't helped enough people yet. So keep that in mind as you go forward the rest of this week and implement the things that you've been learning in this class. Remember small victories. You don't have to implement every single thing today. Okay? A place to start would be don't end any day, any business day, without being 100% done with your lead follow-up. That's a great first step to getting away from call avoidance, call reluctance, slash income, creative income avoidance. Never end the day with leads that you haven't called. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Okay? So if you need extra help on this, don't hesitate to ask for it. You can go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com. You can email me direct, coachjulieharris@gmail.com. And certainly you can choose any of the calls in this class and implement the homework, and you will soon find yourself on the path to greater income.